From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. We meet residents of West Baltimore who nurture community and healing through the arts. Jazz composer Todd Marcus draws inspiration from two decades of living and working alongside his neighbors with the nonprofit Intersection of Change. Then Marion Blackwell, manager of the nonprofit Historic Pennsylvania Avenue Main Street, talks about restoration of the celebrated Arch Social Club facade. And spoken word poet Breon Gill leads the charge to designate the area as a Black Arts and Entertainment District.
So Pennsylvania Avenue has this vibrant, long-standing history of Black affluence, particularly as it relates to Black arts and entertainment. And our hope is not just to revive what used to be, but create a new, vibrant cultural hub.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. The intersection of Pennsylvania and North Avenues in West Baltimore was caught in the glare of national news coverage when civil unrest erupted after Sandtown Winchester resident Freddie Gray was fatally injured in police custody in April 2015. But Penn and North had been in the bright lights before. At points in its vibrant, venerable history, it has been a busy commercial and entertainment district. 2 months ago, we met spoken word performer, author, and cultural curator of Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, Breon Gill. She's leading the drive to designate a stretch of Pennsylvania Avenue as a Black Arts and Entertainment District. We also spoke with Marion Blackwell, manager of the nonprofit Historic Pennsylvania Avenue Main Street. They were in the middle of a national competition sponsored by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, American Express, and National Geographic called Partners in Preservation. They won and will receive $150,000 to restore the historic facade of the Arch Social Club, an anchor establishment in the neighborhood. This weekend, they're hosting a Thanks for Voting for Us celebration featuring a free concert. More about that later. When we met in October, Marion Blackwell explained what Historic Pennsylvania Avenue Main Street is.
Historic Pennsylvania Avenue Main Street is an initiative through the Mayor's Office of Economic Development and Business Development under the direction of Verner Jones Rodwell. There are 8 main streets across the Baltimore community. Pennsylvania Avenue is one of the Main Street organization that is representing all of the communities that align the Pennsylvania Avenue corridor.
So which communities then is that?
That would be Penn North, Druid Heights, Sandtown Winchester, Upton, and Harlem Park.
And the Arch Social Club is included in that.
Yes,
correct?
It is.
Place it for us.
It is actually in the Penn North community. And it is on the corner of North Avenue and Pennsylvania, which is a very vibrant, to some extent, a corridor. And this basically is what Pennsylvania Avenue Main Street is doing. We are bringing back the culture, the vibrance that we celebrate as a people and who are African American in a community that was at one time, I call it the mecca, the economic mecca of most and all African-American communities.
Breon, tell us about the designation you're working toward
area. Over the last year, myself and many other community organizations, which includes Pennsylvania Avenue Main Street and Arch Social Club, which is another one of our partners, have been working to submit an application to the Maryland State Arts Council and Department of Commerce, which is the Arts and Entertainment District program. They head that program to designate what will be the nation's first Black Arts and Entertainment District at a state state designated level. And so we're really excited to have been able to go through this process. And so we're at pretty much a third level of the process. So first, you submit an intent to apply. Then if you're invited past that, you get to do a site visit and walking tour with members of the Maryland State Arts Council and Department of Commerce. And so we've passed that level as well. And now we're at the full application level. And so we're hoping to submit the application in February 2019 in hopes of being designated by July 2019.
Tell me what that designation would mean for the community.
Absolutely. So if you know anything about Baltimore, you know we have three arts and entertainment districts. And in Maryland, which is one of the first states to start an arts and entertainment district program, there are 26 in the state. And so each arts and entertainment district in Maryland comes with three basic tax credits that benefit folks who work, live, and play within that footprint along the Pennsylvania Avenue corridor. I think also, particularly in this community that has received such disinvestment and is so blighted, it could also help to jumpstart a new thrust of economic development and community development for that area.
Let me back up. I probably should have asked you at the beginning. I'm sure you researched the area. Tell me about the history of why this should be an arts and entertainment district.
Absolutely. Pennsylvania Avenue has a history of being what some have coined an epicentral hub for Black arts and entertainment, right? When we think about the Royal Theater, which is now commemorated by a marquee, there were such great and vibrant Black arts and entertainers who stopped there to perform. It was actually a part of what was known as the Chitlin Circuit, a informal ring of theaters in which Black folks were allowed to perform without having to come through the back door. It was very amenable for Black artists in the town when America was not. You also had a number of other theaters that were along Pennsylvania Avenue, right? You had the Sphinx Nightclub, the Lennox Theater, Shake and Bake used to be a prominent theater as well. There was a Black-owned movie theater at the corner of Penn North, diagonal from where Art Social Club is. That's now the subway station. That used to be the first Black-owned movie theater in Baltimore. So Pennsylvania Avenue has this vibrant, long-standing history of Black affluence, particularly as it relates to Black arts and entertainment. And our hope is not just to revive what used to be, but create a new destination, right? A new, vibrant cultural hub for Black Baltimore, but hopefully one that will be a destination for folks across the nation.
At one point, Pennsylvania Avenue was it. It was where everybody in Old West Baltimore went to get what you need. It was at one point, Booker T. Washington considered Old West Baltimore a microcosm of Black America. Because any service or whatever you wanted, you could find within the Old West Baltimore, Pennsylvania Avenue, Druid Hill, McCullough Street quarters.
Marion, what's the history of the Art Social Club?
Well, the Art Social Club is a male private club. They just celebrate their 106th birthday. It got its name because it was once located on a street that was called Arch Street, thus the name the Arch Social Club. But later on, they moved to Northern Pennsylvania, where they are now, and it has a history of being a place of male leadership in the African-American community. Some of our political leaders and most of the leaders in the community were at one point in the early 1900s when there was segregation. It was known as a private club of gentlemen. So now Pennsylvania Avenue has really survived. It has seen its hard days, but now it is a resurgence that's going on. And what they are basically trying to do is bring it back to its benevolent goal that it used to have in the early 1900s for leadership in African-American males. And so the Arch Club, Social Club, at one point, its membership dwindled, but now we're finding that we are getting younger people to come in, and it's a more diverse crowd, and they're expanding their base in terms of inclusion.
Is it still membership only?
It is still membership only, yes, but they are broadening their membership.
So it's no longer dwindling? Is membership rising?
It is now rising. Yes, it is. And I know one of the things that the Arts Social Club sees itself as is as a gateway into the Pennsylvania Avenue corridor off from North Avenue. And during the Freddie Gray riots, that was a beacon for many of the individuals who had to get relief and support. It came out of the Arc Social Club. And during that time, they saw the need to resurrect the organization.
And I'm still not clear. Is membership restricted to males or?
No, it is not.
That's Marion Blackwell, manager of the historic Pennsylvania Avenue Main Street nonprofit here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast, also with us, spoken word poet Breon Gill. She was a 2015 Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellow. We're talking about plans for restoring and reviving the Upton neighborhood, Penn North, and Pennsylvania North Avenues. The restoration of the Arch Social Club facade, it's a competition, right, to get the funds?
Yes, it is.
To do it? Just explain it to me.
Okay, the National Trust for Historic Preservation Partners in Preservation and the National Geographic has invited Baltimore's Arch Social Club to participate in a national contest in terms of a restoration money. We ended up in the final 20. So now what we are trying to do is end up in the top 10 in a competition with San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, and some small towns all over the country.
I know it's for the restoration of the facade, but tell me in more detail, what would this grant cover?
If you could imagine the old school movie theater marquees with the, really bright bulbs that are around it. Right. There's an idea of putting a marquee back on the Art Social Club with lights shining above and beneath so that you can really see this amazing facade. And we also see it as this idea of lighting the archway to the new and improved Black Arts and Entertainment District that we hope to get a designation for in 2019.
What would the significance of restoring the facade be to the community?
It brings back hope. It gives us some idea of what the avenue used to be like.
And Breon, what could the restoration of the Arts Social Club facade mean for the designation of a Black Arts and Entertainment District?
Again, I think that it is a symbol of hope for what is to come. The Arts Social Club isn't just a venue for arts and entertainment, but it's a historic venue, right? And I think too often Black folks don't have the opportunity to preserve places and sites that have historical relevance for us. And so we're really excited to be able to be a part of this project to show how much not only Pennsylvania Avenue, but the Arts Social Club means to Black Baltimore. Our hope is to have that same effect along that business corridor.
This is really exciting. Thank you. Thank you for telling us about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Breon Gill, a spoken word poet and cultural curator of Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, is leading the drive to designate a Black Arts and Entertainment District. Marion Blackwell is manager of the historic Pennsylvania Avenue Main Street. We spoke in October about restoring and reviving the neighborhoods around Pennsylvania and North Avenues. With community support, the Pennsylvania Avenue Group won the national competition for $150,000 to restore the historic facade of the Arts Social Club. This Sunday, December 23rd, they'll host a Thank You for Voting for Us free concert by Jonathan Gilmore and The Experience. It's from 5 to 9 p.m. Sunday at the Arts Social Club, 2426 Pennsylvania Avenue at North Avenue. We have links to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. After a short break here on the record, we'll meet an activist and jazz musician who draws musical inspiration from the same West Baltimore neighborhood. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR, become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking with residents of West Baltimore neighborhoods who are reactivating the arts and culture scene for which the area was once famous. For our next guest, the line blurs between art and activism. Todd Marcus is a bass clarinetist, jazz composer, and bandleader. He's also co-founder and executive director of Intersection of Change, a nonprofit that works to uplift the economic, social, and spiritual lives of neighbors in Soundtown Winchester and its surrounding communities. We talked with him in June about his latest CD, On These Streets, A Baltimore Story, a reflection of the 20 years Marcus has been living and working in Soundtown Winchester. The music was born out of the civil unrest in 2015 that followed the funeral of Freddie Gray, who died in police custody. How did Marcus come to live in West Baltimore?
I grew up in New Jersey my whole life and came to Baltimore in 1994 to go to school at Loyola. I was studying political science there, and after the first semester was looking to see different ways to get involved in the city and the community, the college had different opportunities, different partners, and one was Soundtown Habitat for Humanity. So I came down, I think January of 1995, volunteered in the neighborhood, and after that first day, I was really taken with what I was seeing, the sense of community, the dynamics of what was at play, seeing a lot of the buildings, and like we have in Baltimore where so many are vacant, and really being taken that here we have in Baltimore these challenges that I had seen. It looked like to me was almost like a war zone in Beirut or something. And from there just really became captivated, wanted to be there every week, started building relationships with community residents. And then a couple of years later, I said, I don't see a path for me in political science, but I do feel passionate about community. I do feel passionate about relationships. And I moved into the neighborhood.
So you're captivated.
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, for me, at the same time that I was here in Baltimore, I was getting into jazz. And I was starting to learn about the history behind some of the jazz heroes I was falling in love with. Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Charles Mingus, Max Roach, and the significance of their music in our country in the 1950s and 1960s, for them as black musicians, as black Americans, the civil rights movement, the social context that was taking place, the significance of all those things in our urban eastern cities and a neighborhood like Soundtown Winchester. And it was during the same time that I had met Elder C.W. Harris, the founder of Intersection of Change. And as I had moved into the neighborhood and was working closely with him, it was also time that I was being mentored and taught about the history of the community and really seeing how these histories and the significance of the changes in our community had played out over decades rather than just the typical stereotypes that people get stuck with and say, well, why is Soundtown Winchester like this? Why do you have these struggles with addiction? Why do you have the poverty-related conditions? To see and learn about how some of these things have developed over time was a great learning experience for me, and it all tied into that passion about community and the music.
And tie it together even more for us. Tell us about your latest CD, On These Streets, A Baltimore Story. Why did you decide to make this music now?
When we had the unrest in 2015, look, we already have battled the negative stereotypes about our community that are the lead by news anytime the evening's headlines come on, focusing on the negatives. And in 2015, that was no exception. It took the challenges, the CVS on fire, and just reinforced all the negatives. I felt that as a resident of the neighborhood for over 20 years, that I had the insights to the strengths and the positives of our community. And as a musician, to use my music as a conduit to portray a musical portrait of our community, to put into music not just the challenges which folks see, but the positives as well, and really to, in the process of performing this and putting the record out, foster dialogue and awareness.
One of the ways you foster dialogue, the songs on the CD are instrumental, but you include some talking intros. A song called I Surrender All has an excerpt from what I assume is a local church mm-hmm. service. Another one starts with the interview of a gentleman talking about the neighborhood in the 50s and what it's like today. And then there's this from Pennsylvania Avenue Hustle.
Everybody from everywhere would come, and the Royal would be packed. That was the place. The Avenue was the place to be. There were lights. There were stores. There were people stopping, talking, and mingling with one another. There was love.
Why did you decide to include those voices and those stories?
I wanted to do that because I felt it was important to have voices from actual community members who have been really significant to our neighborhood. People like Amelia Harris, one of the co-founders of Intersection of Change, and her husband, Elder C.W. Harris, a lifelong community resident who founded our nonprofit Intersection of Change and is a community resident that stayed in the neighborhood when so many others were leaving. You know, our elders in the neighborhood have this great connection to the heyday of Pennsylvania Avenue when it was that mecca for arts and entertainment in the community. So it was an opportunity to do that storytelling. And also, for this being an album of instrumental music, the compositions are each capturing a mood. But by having these introductions beforehand, it further contextualizes them. So you hear that with the case of Pennsylvania Avenue Hustle. There's another composition that's called, for example, Ground Zero at Penn and North.
Let's hear a clip from that. What went into composing Ground Zero?
That was an effort to capture the strain and the challenge of the unrest in 2015 at Pennsylvania Avenue and North Avenue. But I felt that this was an example of an area and an instance that had a duality that most people miss. And that is that you had those challenges, you had that struggle there, but you also had a lot of positive demonstrations that were taking place there in the days after the unrest. Musicians coming together, people demonstrating, a lot of advocacy taking place. And so that's embodied in the composition because you hear the opening where it's very chaotic. There's that mood of the uncertainty and the unknown of how bad would that night of the unrest be. But also amidst that kind of ominous quality and that frenetic opening, then you hear at points within the composition these passages that are very soaring and uplifting. And they try to capture that counterbalance of the positive demonstrations, the musicians, the artists coming together, our elected officials who the night of the unrest were out there locked arm in arm marching down Pennsylvania Avenue stating that we here as the community are going to fight to regain balance and order here and to show that it is not what the stereotypes are, but that we're yet community. And so that duality is something I try to capture in that composition.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast speaking with bass clarinetist Todd Marcus about On These Streets, A Baltimore Story, his latest CD inspired by living and working in the Sandtown Winchester neighborhood in West Baltimore. There's a song titled Intersection of Change on the CD. Tell us a bit about that organization itself.
That is the community nonprofit founded by Elder C.W. Harris. And the organization, Intersection of Change, is the nonprofit that was started to address poverty-related challenges in our community. We have a recovery program called Martha's Place that serves our women overcoming substance abuse. We have an arts program called Jubilee Arts that does arts classes and entrepreneurial programs for our kids as well as adults. And then we've got an urban farm in our neighborhood. It's called Strength of Love 2, and it grows crops in our neighborhood to address the food desert. Also offers employment for our ex-offenders coming back from incarceration. And so for me, again, in the context of showing this portrait of positives in our community, it was very important for me, having been a part of Intersection of Change from the beginning, being actually one of the co-founders, to do a composition that portrayed that. And so in that composition, you hear a real positive, uplifting kind of energy that's taking place. But you also hear some moments where there is a sort of a melody of melancholy and longing, because I think for us, as amidst the amazing transformation we've done at our main intersection of Pennsylvania Avenue and Pressman, converting a whole intersection that was abandoned and vacant into this area of vitality, one that Elder Harris calls Resurrection Intersection, there are yet those realities, those reminders of some of the challenges that we are pushing against on a daily basis. So you hear that juxtaposition of the positive themes, some of the ominous ones, so this ongoing duality again, which the album tries to capture.
What is the connection for you between music and community?
Well, the connection is that it's all about community. For me, one of the things that I fell in love with about jazz was, of course, the music, the energy of it, the life of it. But it, I think more than a lot of other musics, it's very much a social music, one that has fostered community. Look, during legal segregation in our country, this is a music that brought people together across racial barriers. And so even today, where we are yet largely segregated by neighborhoods, by race, I think that the relevance of music as that unifying power and that force, to me, remains as relevant as ever. So that's about community. That's about uplift. And the music side of that provides that, and then my work at Intersection of Change is very directly doing that on a community development type of level as well.
Todd Marcus, thank you.
Thank you for having me be here with you.
Bass clarinetist, band leader, and executive director of Intersection for Change, Todd Marcus. We spoke with him in June about his latest CD, On These Streets, A Baltimore Story. In a few weeks, you can hear the Todd Marcus Quintet live Sunday, January 13th, 7 p.m. at the Creative Alliance at 3134 Eastern Avenue in Baltimore. We have links to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!